Welcome to Shure Foundation Baptist Church. Turn your hymnal to song number 162. Song 162, to God be the glory. On the first, to God be the glory, great things he had done. So loved he world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he had done. Great things he had taught us, great things he had done. And great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done. All right, great sing. Let's pray to open up the service. Lord, thank you so much for this day that we get to gather at your house. I pray for a great service, pray for great singing and great preaching, and pray that we'll be edified through your word. I pray you'll be with the Stockton family as they are grieving. Just give them comfort and strength. I pray that we'll pray for those people that are sick. Lord, I pray for a complete healing so that they can be back at church. Again, pray that you'll fill us with your Holy Spirit and yield ourselves to your will. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, go to song number 207. Only a Sinner, Psalm 207.
Not have I gotten, but what I receive. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Once I was foolish, and sin ruled my heart, causing my footsteps from God to depart. Jesus hath found me, happy my gaze. I now am a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace.
This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Tears unavailing, no merit had I. Mercy has saved me, or else I must die. Sin had alarmed me, fearing God's face. But now I'm a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Suffer a sinner whose heart overflows, loving his Savior to tell what he knows. Once more to tell it, would I embrace? I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. Only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace.
All right, good singing. If you need a bulletin, please raise your hand and we'll get you a bulletin. The verse of the week is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And because God always uses a remnant, so be part of the remnant. Let's look at the inside page. Please give us a follow on our social media platforms. We have Sunday morning service at 11, Sunday afternoon service at 4, and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. This Wednesday, we'll be talking about Peter's miracle towards the end of Acts chapter 9. We have soul winning Saturday morning at 10:30, and Sunday afternoon soul winning at 1:30 p.m. This afternoon, we had 10 soul winners and 2 salvations. Praise the Lord for that. I mean, the first door I knock is a lesbian, second door is a tranny, so I'm glad we still had 2 salvations today. So praise God for that. You know, I guess I get all the, you know, the bad doors for you guys. Upcoming events, we have an annual fall fellowship at a local park on October 3rd. Please join us, save the date, and of course, more details to come. And it's a very nice park. If you've been with us for the last 2 years, you know what's up. So please join us for a good fellowship event. Also, the Indie Soul Winning is coming up in 2 weeks on July 25th. That's a Saturday. And please scan the QR code to know when to meet, where to meet. Okay, do not ask me what day is it or where are we meeting. It's all on the website. So please RSVP, because if you don't, there will be consequences. Okay, so there will be. What? Shut up. Preferably email. Yeah. So, but if you do the website, it's fine. So, all right. Purdue is on August 22nd. That's when we go to the college campuses. Should be fun. Yeah. Let's look on the backside. We are actually having Brother Christian's birthday on the 15th. So that's your 18th birthday, right? Hey, you wish. 28th birthday. So let's sing. Happy birthday to Brother Christian. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right, congratulations for surviving another year. Bring me a cake, all right? All right. Let's sing one more song. Song 183. Oh, how I love Jesus. Song 183.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father hath in store for every day. And though I tread the darkness path, he'll sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can fill my deepest void. Who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
All right, ushers, please come forward. At this time, we'll take up the offering. Brother Mac, would you pray for the offering, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day, Lord. Please bless this offering. Let it go further your kingdom. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3 reads, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Brother Stephen, could you pray us in?
Amen. All right, let's read the first five verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." So I believe that this verse is prophesying the modern day white supremacist people that are making a very big comeback. So I'll say before 1970, white supremacy was just very overt, very in your face. But then past 1970, it was very not popular to be openly racist, so it became more of like a dog whistle. And then when Obama got elected in 2008, it became very unpopular to be openly racist. But then in 2005, I noticed with Twitter being free speech, it is just ramped up and it became very popular. Now, obviously, that's a big problem, but I think the biggest problem is that I believe Satan is trying to mix these two so that it becomes the lines get blurred and it becomes indistinguishable from each other. Let me give you some examples. People like John Doyle, Matt Walsh, Nicholas J. Fuentes, Brian Suave, Joel Webbin, Dale Partridge, Jake Lang, and Corey Mahler. Corey Mahler, he's a nut. I'm gonna get to him later. But anyway, these people are trying to mix Christianity with this, like, racist, white supremacy ideology. And I believe by the time I'm, like, maybe Brother Matt's age, that it's mainstream, right-wing, fundamental Christianity is going to become this way. Because obviously, I see a trend that, like, liberal Christianity, people don't really want anything to do with that because it's very weird. So I believe as the years go on, people are going to go away from that and go more into conservative churches, fundamental churches that actually believe the things in the Bible. And the mainstream conservative Christianity right now are the people that I just read. So the title of my sermon is Racism Revival. So point number one, this has made a big comeback. This ideology called race realism that was very popular. First, in the 1700s, it was called scientific racism, but now they had to clean up the term. It was popularized by Jared Taylor. The definition is the pseudo-scientific claim that human races are biologically distinct genetic categories, with proponents arguing that these divisions explain inherent differences in psychological traits, for example, intelligence and temperament. And anytime I hear somebody speak about the doctrine of race realism, the heart of the matter, where it always gets into, is just how stupid black people are and how violent they are. There's no other point of the conversation but to get into that. And this doctrine is false for a lot of reasons. Number one is basically hyper-Calvinism, because God is the person who created us, who created our genetics. And they're saying that God pretty much made black people to be stupid and violent. Hyper-Calvinism is pretty much just saying that God makes people sin according to his divine will. And obviously, Calvinists, when you push them down on the hyper-Calvinist talking points, they'll shy away from that and be like, oh, well, I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. But hyper-Calvinism is the logical leap of Calvinism, because if God's controlling salvation, what else is he controlling without our free will? So turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Number one, I want to say this: God wants people to do righteousness. God does not make anybody sin, and he doesn't want anybody to sin. He did not make us to sin. It should be in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 29. The Bible says, "Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So God did not make any race or any group of people to sin. God hates sin. God doesn't want sin. So it wouldn't make sense that God made black people to be the violent, stupid race and then made everybody else moral and good. You should be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The Bible says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So there are no just sins that are like unique to black people. The Bible says there are sins that are common to man, common to everybody. Everybody has different temptation, whether that's to steal, whether that's to be angry at somebody. Now, obviously, reprobates, they have temptations that are not common to man, that normal people would not indulge in. Their mind would never go there. But basically, from what I'm hearing, every time I hear somebody preach on this or hear somebody talk about it, they're making it seem like black people are like exceeding sinners before the Lord, and that they're like a reprobate people that we should have nothing to do with. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 13. And today, the message pretty much is that none of that is true. And it's a lie according to the Bible. You should be in James chapter 1, verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13, the Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God." So right there, God is not forcing people to sin. God is not testing or tempting somebody to go into any sin, because that's not in God's nature. But race realism teaches that God made black people to be violent or something like that. The Bible says, "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Now, this is how sin works for everybody. Verse 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's the cycle of sin that every human goes to, and we all have free will on whether how deep we're going to get into sin or how holy we're going to be and be away from sin. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 18. Another issue with this doctrine is they're pretty much teaching that black people don't have agency to have the free will to make their own decisions, because, again, people like Nick Fuentes will say black people are predisposed to violence, predisposed to killing, rape, murder, robbery. And that's a bunch of garbage, because we all have agency. You should be in Ezekiel chapter 18, not Ecclesiastes. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. The Bible says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." So everybody has agency. Everybody makes their own decisions to either make a wicked decision or to be righteous. And the accountability is on the person. It's not on how God made them. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11, the Bible says this: "Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O Israel?" So as you can see here, God's will is for people to turn from their wickedness. God does not want anybody to sin. So if God doesn't want people to sin, he wants them to turn from their wickedness, why would he make a group of people wicked on purpose? That contradicts the Bible. Now, I'm going to give you a couple examples of how they'll turn the racial science and mix it in with religion. And a very popular example is Mormonism. Now, in your Book of Mormon, turn to 2 Nephi chapter 5, verse... Y'all have one? Okay, never mind. Turn to, in 2 Nephi chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says... Oh, good night. The Book of Mormon... The Book of Mormon says, and he had caused the cursing to come upon them, yea, even a sore cursing because of their iniquity. Wherefore, as they were white and exceedingly fair and delightsome, that they might not be enticing unto my people, the Lord did cause a skin of blackness to come upon them. 3 Nephi chapter 2, verse 15, the Book of Mormon says, and their curse was taken from them, and their skin became white like unto the Nephites, and their young men and their daughters became exceedingly fair. So that's what I believe, if this does not go unchecked, that mainstream right-wing Christianity will turn into Mormonism. Because Mormonism, it was made in the 1800s in America, so it's pretty much a sci-fi mix of Christianity and white supremacy, and they wrote it in the book. Basically, they're saying, if you sin, God turns you black, and once you repent of your sins, God turns you into a white person. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. Now, this is one of the stupidest ideologies or theories I've heard. Has anybody ever heard of the Mark of Cain? Black people have the Mark of Cain. They said that black people were cursed, or Cain was cursed with a skin of blackness, and that's what the mark of Cain is. You should be in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now, did anybody catch that? Where's the curse in this verse? According to this verse, it sounds like a blessing that God is putting on Cain so that people do not kill him. And it even says that if somebody does kill Cain, that vengeance will come upon them sevenfold. So the people making up these theories obviously do not read the stories that they're making up. And let's just say, for example, let's say the Mark of Cain was something bad. Cain's lineage died in the flood. So how would that connect to people today if Cain's lineage, if it's an eternal curse on black people, Cain's lineage is gone. There is no person that descends from Cain. So that's utterly retarded. Turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Now, the more popular theory is the curse of Ham. And one of the people I named, Dale Partridge, coincidentally, I wrote this sermon already probably like 4 weeks ago, but coincidentally, yesterday, he was preaching the curse of Ham to his congregation in Arizona. And basically, if you don't know, the curse of Ham is that black people are Ham, and Ham's lineage was cursed to be a servant of servant, or in their mind, a slave of slaves. So that's why all this bad stuff happens to them, because God has ordained all the bad stuff. And Japheth would be the white people, and Shem would be the Middle Easterners. Now, there's nowhere in the Bible that says Ham was cursed. You should be in Genesis chapter 9, verse 24. The Bible says, and Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done in him. This is talking about Ham. So Ham uncovered Noah's nakedness after Noah got drunk after they got off the boat. Now, look at what Noah says. Verse 25. And he said, cursed be Ham. No, the Bible says, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So nowhere in the Bible was Ham ever cursed? You cannot show me any verse in this Bible where Ham was cursed. Now, Ham had four sons, and the places where they dwelt, three of them dwelt in Africa today. The funny thing about it is Canaan did not dwell in Africa. If you know the Bible, Canaan dwelt in the Levant, in the Middle Eastern area. Put, one of Noah's sons, dwelt in modern-day Libya. Mizraim would be Egypt, and Cush would be modern-day Sudan, which in the Bible is called Ethiopia. So nowhere in the Bible does it say Egypt is cursed, nowhere in the Bible does it say Put was cursed, and nowhere in the Bible does it say that the third one I just said was cursed. So they're taking great leaps of truth, taking great liberties with the truth to just find something in the Bible, but the Bible does not teach this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And also, even if that, let's say black people did descend from Canaan, Canaan was cursed in the Old Testament. That curse was fulfilled by the things that happened to them. They were almost exterminated, and they did serve Japheth and the Israelites. So that was already a done deal in the Old Testament. And we have examples of people who were Canaanites who were great people, like Rahab. She was a Canaanite, like Simon the Canaanite. You have a lot of examples of that in the Bible. Now, you should be in 1 Corinthians 5. My wife told me, she had a conversation with a lady one day, and basically the lady was like, I don't want to go to Memphis because black people in Memphis, all they do is drink and smoke and they just fornicate. So I don't want to have anything to do with that. Now, if she would have said, I don't want to go to Memphis because people drink and smoke, that's fine. If she would have said, I don't want to go to Memphis because people fornicate, that's fine. But what she's doing is making it seem like those specific sins are unique to the black people in Memphis, which is insane. When my wife told me this, I was like, what culture doesn't commit fornication and drink alcohol? And do, like, that's an insane thing to only describe that to black people. And I'm not saying that black people are perfect. Obviously, they drink. Obviously, they smoke. Obviously, they fornicate. Name me somebody who doesn't. Anybody? No, everybody does that. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 says. The Bible says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. So basically, Paul was saying that we should not be in company or be around somebody who's saved and is committing the sin of fornication, and they should be kicked out of church and dealt with quickly. Verse 10 says, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with the extortioners, or with the idolaters, for then must he needs to go out of the world. So Paul's saying, if you were to break fellowship with every fornicator and every person who did drugs and drank alcohol, you would just have to leave earth at that point, because who doesn't, what culture doesn't do that? So, yeah, people need to stop saying these stupid things that are unbiblical and unhistorical and unscientific. Now, the next thing that these people will do to try to demonize black people is, who's heard of the 1350 thing? Black people commit 13%, or black people are 13% of the population, commit 50% of the crime, and then every time they talk, the stats go up. So when I was younger, I heard 1350, now it's like 1360, 1370. By the time I'm 40, it's going to be like 1300. We're just, every black person is just committing all the crime. Now, people don't do a lot of research. When they say commit, that's not true, because what they're referring to is the 2019 FBI Uniform Crime Report, and those track arrests. Just because you were arrested for a crime does not mean that you committed the crime. And just because you committed a crime doesn't mean that you will be arrested. Epstein Island, those people committed a lot of death penalty sins, and nobody got arrested except for Jeffrey. So, yeah, take people. First of all, it's just funny that with the FBI, people will believe in all these, like, conspiracy theories and, oh, yeah, the FBI did this, the FBI did this. But then as soon as the FBI came out with this, this is just the gospel truth. There's no nuance to the situation. Just, that's just it. Now, according to the thing that they're quoting, only 129,346 black people were arrested for violent crimes. And let me just say this. These are not individual arrests. Somebody could be arrested multiple times in a year, and that would count as an arrest. It's not counting individual people. But however the sake, like I said, 129,346. Now, in 2019, there was 46,800,000 black people living in the United States. So that would mean 0.2% of the black community was arrested for violent crimes, and that would also mean 99.8% were not arrested for a crime. But on the media, you just hear all this hysteria, like, oh, if you're around blacks, don't relax. If you see them at a gas station, off of 0.2% of the population. So let me ask you, does it make sense to judge a entire group of people based on 10% of the people's actions? Maybe, 10% is a lot. How about 5%? No, that's too low. How about 1%? No, that's crazy, right? How about 0.2% of the people? Let's judge an entire community based on the actions of 100,000 people. It makes no sense whatsoever. Now, what I've seen one of them, once they were confronted with the truth of the matter that the vast majority of every racial group doesn't commit crime, they'll say, well, yeah, that's true. You know, most black people, they aren't violent criminals, but they glorify violence. All of them, they glorify violence. Now, I'm not saying that that's not true, because every culture has some negative aspects and every culture has some positive aspects. But what I am saying is every culture has negative aspects. So, yeah, black culture, in some aspects, they do glorify violence. But what about all the other cultures? So, for example, in white culture, in this country, you had dueling. People like Andrew Jackson would go up to people and say, hey, I challenge you to a duel. Let's shoot each other. Is that violence, right? Jousting, the Roman Colosseum, the movie Rambo, that's very violent. The Terminator, The Sopranos, The Godfather. People glorify the mafia and the mob all the time. I see people dress up as the mob for Halloween, but somehow that's not glorifying violence. What else? Mortal Kombat, Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto. Is that not violence? Death metal? Death? Is that not violence? Johnny Cash? Johnny Cash, he's a country singer. He literally sung about shooting somebody in Texas. How is that not violence? So I'm not up here to say that, you know, black people don't have problems. I'm just up here to say everybody has problems. Everybody has the same type of problems. Even in Asian culture, samurais, is that violence? Ninjas, that's violent. Bruce Lee, he did a lot of violent stuff to people. Anime, these anime shows that people watch, like Attack on Titan, that's super violent, but nobody talks about that. So basically what I'm saying is, let's take the beam out of our eye before we start judging other people. Turn to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. So, ironically, people like Joel Webbin and who else? Brian Suave, they will use this verse to prove that racism is okay. They taught from their churches, well, it's okay to be racist because in Titus, the Bible says this. We're about to read it. Titus chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now, you might have missed it, but they're saying when the Bible says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies, then what's wrong with me saying that all black people are violent, stupid, lazy, and what will be the issue with that? There's nothing wrong with that. Now, unfortunately, these people are five-point Calvinists, meaning that they're not saved because if you believe in limited atonement, then you're going to go to hell. If you limit the gospel, if you limit the atonement, you're going to go to hell. So the problem that they run into with interpreting this verse is they don't have the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So the reason why they take this great leap with this verse is because they don't understand the Bible. Here's what Titus chapter 1, verse 10 is actually saying. It's saying that the Jews have said this, said these things. Verse 10 says, especially them of the circumcision. And then when it says one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, it's talking about the Jews. The Jews are demonizing the Cretans and making it seem like they're just, they ain't worth a damn. Nothing's good about them. The Jews are doing this. That's why Paul says this witness is true. It's true that the Jewish prophet is saying these things. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Verse 14 proves it all. Not giving heed to Jewish fables. So the whole verse is condemning Jews, but then in their mind, Paul goes from Jews bad, Christians bad, and then Jews bad at the end, when the verse is just saying Jews is bad the whole way. That, but they don't have the Holy Spirit, so they can't understand this verse. And the reason why I like this verse is if somebody's demonizing a whole group of people, especially if they're lying and railing, we should rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. This is going to be my longest point. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible says, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are under sin. The Bible teaches that Jews and Gentiles are both under sin. We're both condemned. There's no one special group that just sins less than the other special group. Verse 10, look at verse 10. The Bible says, as it is written, there are some righteous. No, the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. Look at verse 22. Verse 22. And another thing, so Judaism, obviously, that's a false religion, and Zionism is a very deadly, demonic doctrine that has killed a lot of people, but it is wicked to hate Jewish people by their ethnicity because they did not choose to be born Jewish. Now, they do choose to be Zionists or they choose to believe in Judaism. That would be wrong, but there's nothing wrong with being born Jewish because who made them Jewish? Did they make themselves Jewish? No, God created them to have that ethnicity. So it would be wicked to like make fun of that or, oh, next time I see a Jew, I'm going to just do this. That's wicked. Why are you, you know, messing around with people? Why don't, when you see a Jew, you try to give them the gospel instead of trolling Jews? Verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Now, is this saying there's no difference in sin? No, obviously there are some sins that are way worse than other sins. It's saying there's no difference when it comes to people sinning. So when I was young, my mom taught me, you know, Rashid, there's good white people and there's bad white people. There's good black people and there's bad black people. Now what's being taught is there's good white people and there's great white people and there's bad white, there's bad black people and worse black people. And this was the verse of saying there's no difference. The human, all human, the human race is all the same. We all have the same proclivities to sin in every race. So in every race, in the black race, you have Kenny Baldwin. You have people like him. Then you have people like Eddie Long, who is a pedophile and had sexual intercourse with men. You have white people like Pastor Thompson. And then you have white people like Robert Morris, who's a horrible person. They're both white, though, right? You have Asian people like Brother Justin. Then you have Asian people like Gene Kim. But they're both Asian, right? So there's no, like, trying to see which race is the worst at this and the best at this. That's a fool's errand because you're not going to get anywhere because you could pull out examples from every group of people. What does the Bible say? For all have sinned except for white people and come short of the glory of God. No, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, the next thing with the doctrine of race realism is that black people have low intelligence and they're slow and stupid and blah, 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 right? More than every other group. Now, when I first heard this belief, I was like, there's just no way that this is true. because I don't know if you all know this, in Africa, those people speak like 3, 4, and 5 languages. You're not going to convince me that these people are mentally retarded and they speak 5 languages, because technically, according to the DSM-5, if someone's below 70 IQ, they are legally mentally retarded, and that's what these people are trying to say, that people from of African descent or black people are below 70 IQ. Now, they'll pull up these stats with an IQ test. Now, I was going to get into how maybe an IQ test could be culturally biased or have language barriers, and those things can be true, but the evidence that these people are reaching from, these IQ tests weren't taken, number one, or they were administered badly. So I'm going to show you the meme that everybody posts online about this. This is a book made by Richard Lynn and Tutu von Hayman. It was made in 2002. It's called IQ and the Wealth of Nations. So this is the chart from their book. As you can see, the red is Africa, and the red over here is like black Caribbean countries like Jamaica and Haiti and Dominican Republic. The red means stupid, and then everything else is smart. So it was so funny. I see people use this chart all the time to be like, black people are stupid. The people who made this book, did horrible research. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 15, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. If you don't believe anything in the sermon, at least believe this verse, that we should not just believe anything that we hear online. We should always search stuff out and be a people of knowledge. It says the prudent man looketh well to his going. So unfortunately, for whatever reason, in Baptist culture, it's like cool to be stupid. Y'all know what I'm talking about, where it's like, oh, praise God, especially in the South, oh, praise God, I'm just a dumb country boy. The Bible says that being stupid is a sin. God's people should not be being stupid, acting stupid, saying stupid things, believing stupid things that you hear on the internet with no research. So, now this book that I'm talking about, it was made in 2002. I was born in 2002, so the research is pretty long ago. It includes 185 countries, but the IQ tests that were only taken in 81 countries. So they have a whole book about 185 countries' IQ scores, and they only took a test in 81, meaning that the other 104 countries, they just guessed. They were just like, well, you know, North Korea is next to South Korea. I know we tested South Korea, but, you know, they're the same, so they got the same IQ score. So if they would have, you know, did this in college, they would have got an F because their research is horrible. And then for the 81 IQ tests that they did conduct or got research from, they cherry-picked the sample size. I'm going to give you 3 examples. In Equatorial Guinea, which is in Central Africa, they said the people there, on average, are 59 IQ. 59 IQ is pretty much somebody who's mentally disabled. They can't even feed themselves. They can't clothe themselves. This is the people that they tested. They tested 48 special needs children and then ascribed that to an entire country. So this is what they do. They test 48 people who are mentally disabled and then say, well, based on that, the whole country is just retarded. The research is horrible. In Angola, which is in South Africa, they said that they have an average IQ of 69. This is where they got that from. They tested 19 children that were suffering from malaria, and then they ascribed that to an entire country. So you have these sick children who have a disease. You test them, and, yep, the whole country is just that. Last example, Eritrea, which is in East Africa, they have a 64 IQ, according to this book. They tested 74 children that were orphans because their parents have died in a civil war. And then they ascribe that to the whole country and say, yup, the whole country is just slow and stupid. But they're picking the worst sample sizes possible. Now, let's say that everything in this book is true. Does that mean that it's inherently genetic and there's nothing environmentally that could change that? Because when these people speak, they'll basically say, if you give someone who's a Somalian all the help in the world, give him all the education, all the nutrition, he will still be stupid because he's black. That's the teaching from them. But According to science, something called the Flynn effect proves that IQ is not a fixed inherent genetic trait, because according to the research they did, when communities get better education and nutrition, their IQ points go up rapidly by the decade. If they're fed well as a child and if they get the same education and resources, their IQ points will go up. What's an example of this? North Korea and South Korea. So in 1945, North Korea and South Korea got divorced and they split up. And according to right now and present times, South Koreans are taller on average than North Koreans. And South Koreans have a higher IQ than North Koreans. But they're the same genetics. Like if a South Korean person and a North Korean person takes a DNA test, it's not going to say North or South. It's just going to say Korean. So why is it that these people that live on the same island, the same tectonic plate, have different variables? It's because Kim Jong-un is starving his people. That they're not eating the right food. That's why they're not growing as tall as somebody in South Korea. Turn to James chapter 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. Now, obviously, scientifically, this is debunked, but biblically, this is also debunked. In James chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says this: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to certain races liberally. No, to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. The Bible teaches that if you're saved and you ask God for wisdom, God will give you the wisdom. God wants to give you the wisdom to be a smarter person. So teaching that like black people were made to be stupid or made to be violent is unscientific and it's unbiblical. Another thing that they'll say is that certain races have good civilizations, advanced civilizations, and the darker races have backward civilizations. I don't want to go into that. Basically, if you look it up on Google, every race, every group of people has had advanced civilizations and really bad civilizations. They'll say, like, people in sub-Saharan Africa before European contact, they didn't know what a mirror was. They didn't know what a wheel was. They didn't have any two-story buildings. They didn't have any written language. And I hear them say this, and I'm like, okay, is this true? Google it. No, none of that is true. Nothing like that is true. They had advanced civilizations in Africa, the Mali Empire, the Songhai Empire. You had the Eskom Empire in Ethiopia, the Great Zimbabwe in Southern Africa. So, like, people like Nick Fuentes, just they get all this popularity. They go on all these platforms, talk to Tucker Carlson, repeat this, no evidence at all. It's just a lie. And they try to make it sound good. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Turn to Romans chapter 16. Beware of people that try to make something stupid and idiotic sound like a good thing. Romans chapter 16. So, Romans chapter 16, verse 17, the Bible says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So beware of people that try to make this ideology sound good. What they'll say is, well, I'm not saying that, you know, white people are superior to black people. I'm just saying that, you know, everyone has their strengths. White people sin less and they're smarter, and black people are dumber and are better at basketball. First of all, the basketball thing pisses me off, because if you didn't know this, on average, white people are taller than black people in this country. The average white man is 5'10". The average black man is 5'9". A 5'9" person is not good at basketball. And even if you're tall, I'm tall, I'm not good at basketball. I don't have any hand-eye coordination. I can't play defense. I can't shoot. I can't really do anything. We played at some park with Brett, and Brett destroyed me. And Brett is white, but he's better at me at basketball. And what they'll say is, well, most of the people in the NBA are black, so that's their special gift. There's only 400 people in the NBA. Why are we ascribing that to millions of people? It makes no sense. When you really sit here and think about these things, they make no sense at all. And when you really get deep into the matter, basically what they're saying is blacks are better in the same way that animals are better than us. Because if you think about it, we are superior to animals, right? We're superior to gorillas, sharks, all that. But would you want to be in a cage with a gorilla? No, a gorilla, a lion, a shark will rip your head off, but they're stronger than us. They're superior to us in that way, but we're smarter than them, and that's what makes us superior over them. So that's basically what they're doing. It's like a sly thing to be like, oh, well, black people are the animals, and we're the real humans. Now, like I said, that was my largest point. My second point is, what are races? What are races? Race is a social construct of physical phenotypes between different groups. Can I have a Brother Stephen, can you please come up here? So, right here. So, me and Stephen don't look the same. I don't know if any of you noticed that. Me and Stephen look different. Now, Stephen, his skin is paler than mine, and my skin is darker than him. Why is Stephen's skin lighter than mine? It's because he's smarter than me. Right? It's because he sinned less than me, right? No, the reason why, let me tell you a secret. The reason why his skin is white is because his ancestors came from a place where it was cold. It's as simple as that. But people want to just obfuscate and make it something that's not. Now, why do I look different than Stephen? Because I'm dumb. Because I sin all the time more than Stephen. I'm not saying we sin, I don't know. But whatever. The reason why my skin is this color is because my ancestors came from a place where the sun was out more. Oh my goodness. That's why people look different based on the sun. So Stephen is superior to me. Do you know how he's superior to me? In colder climates, in colder environments. And I'm superior to Stephen in hotter environments. That's the superiority. But trying to make it like a smart basketball, that's ridiculous. That's stupid. Thank you, Stephen. Go sit down. I got to say, some people, I don't know. So according to science, all races are equal, according to science. The undeniable scientific consensus is that all humans are 99.9 genetically related based on their DNA sequence. And the 0.1, which we're not related, is just the way we look. Pretty much, that's it. So 99% we're the same. The 1% is the way that we look. Turn to Acts chapter 17. So look, all I'm showing you is that the Bible teaches this, science teaches this, and history teaches this. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. The Bible says, God that have made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. So God created all of us, and God made us of one blood. Now, where do we get the idea of race? When did this happen? When did the idea of racism or race start? So I'll just say that it's very recent. And the earth has been here for 6,300 years. This ideology is very recent. So the history of it is pretty much, there were European Catholics and unsaved European Protestants that were committing atrocities in the Americas and in Africa, and they used their religion to justify it. So we all know Catholics, they don't believe in the Bible. So what the Pope did was, he didn't use any verse. He was just like, hey, you have the right to enslave people in Africa. That's the will of God. And you have the right to do whatever you want to do to the Native Americans. And I think it was like three or four popes that gave that commission to the Spanish and the Portuguese to do that. Now, Protestants, they try to believe in the Bible. When I say unsaved, what I mean is that they're not saved. Because these Protestant groups, and hopefully I don't burst any bubbles, people are like, yeah, we need to go back to this Christian nation. These people that came here and did these things were Protestants. And they either believed that you could lose your salvation, or if they didn't believe you could lose your salvation, they were five-point Calvinists. And if you believe in limited atonement, and if you believe that you could lose your salvation, you are not a Christian. Because what is a Christian? Somebody who follows Christ. And if you're not saved, you're not following Christ. it would be impossible. So the Protestants, the European Protestants, they tried to use verses to justify it. They use Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, where it says, "Ask of me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of earth for thy possession." So they were like, well, hey, we just go into America, just kill all these people, because, hey, they'll give the heathen to our inheritance, and they'll give us the whole earth. And as we know, that's super unbiblical, because in Psalm 2, that's a messianic psalm about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. That has nothing to do. Jesus didn't say go out and just take people's stuff and bully them and rape them and do whatever you want to them. He said go out and preach the gospel. Now, once they started doing this, two big problems started to happen. The first problem was people started to convert to their Catholicism or to the unsaved Protestant group. So basically it was that you couldn't do that to another Christian. And the second issue was the Enlightenment era in Europe, which taught basically the liberal things in America today, which all men are equal, we're all endued inalienable rights from our Creator. That started to get really popular in Europe. So with these two dilemmas, that's when they made race in the 1600s. They were like, well, hey, if this person converts, you know, I can't do what I want to them, so let's just make another category. And, you know, according to our Enlightenment era, all men are created equal, so let's just make this person a different subhuman race. That's where it comes from. And like I said, the earth has been around for 6,300 years, and we've only been going based off this ideology for 400 years. So we ought not to look at the world through that. Now, what are races? What are races? What are they? What is a white person? Is a white person somebody with white skin? No, because in this country, in America, in the early 1900s, U.S. citizenship was legally restricted to only white people and black people at the time in the 1920s. So this forced immigrants from Asia to argue that they were biologically white in court, because the Asian person is like, well, I'm not going to get away with saying I'm black. That's a lie. But the Asian person, the Japanese person's name is Dako Azua, something like that. So he was basically saying, hey, my skin is whiter than yours, so I'm white based on that. It went all the way to Supreme Court, and they argued that the Japanese immigrant was not white because white meant Caucasian and Japanese people were Mongoloid, so they were not genetically the same as Europeans. Look at the hypocrisy. A year later, there was another Supreme Court case where an Indian Sikh man, he tried to get in citizenship with America based on that logic that was open to Caucasians, because at that time they believed that the East Indians were Caucasian. So he was like, hey, a year ago you said Caucasians could become citizens. I'm a Caucasian. And this is what they said. The Supreme Court rejected the scientific argument that they used a year before. They rejected it and ruled against him anyway, stating that white should be interpreted according to the understanding of the common man, meaning that it's a social construct. It means whatever we want it to mean at the time, and the goalposts always shift. For example, in the United States, Slavs, they weren't considered white. Italians weren't considered white. Irish people, even Germans. Benjamin Franklin was like, no, Germans aren't even white. Only the English are the real white people. We don't even consider some people who look white, they aren't white today, like Canelo Alvarez, the boxer. He's Mexican. People consider him Mexican, not white. He's whiter than everybody in this room. Ben Shapiro, he looks just like a white man, but people say, no, he's not white. He's a Jew. So it's just very subjective all the time. My third proof of this, what race is this person? Does everybody see this person? What race is he? Anybody want to guess? He's white? Anybody else? Any takers? This man was considered black in America. Even though he has blue eyes, he has blonde hair, this person was considered black. He was a civil rights leader named Walter White, not the drug dealer from the show. And he pretended to be a white person to go into certain, like, lynching observations. So if this person is considered to be white and considered to be black and he's clearly white, what does that mean? Race is super subjective and it's superficial, and it means whatever the people at the top want it to mean at the time. Now, why do different people exist? So the Bible talks about ethnicities, because In the Greek, when the Bible says nation, it means ethnos, which means ethnicity. So ethnicity is a real thing in the Bible. Races are not. Basically, we all come from Adam. The world got very wicked. God punished the world and saved Noah and the remaining seven, and he created everybody through Noah. So we all descend from Adam and Noah. And then Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and they had a bunch of other sons. They all went to the Tower of Babel and started speaking different languages and went all across the world. Turn to John chapter 7, verse 24. John chapter 7, verse 24. That's where we get basically, that's what the Bible talks about with modern ethnicities. That's why we all speak a different language, because everybody spoke the same language and they tried to build a tower to heaven. And that's why we all speak different. That's why we all look different. John chapter 7, verse 24, the Bible says, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The Bible doesn't teach that if you go to a gas station and you see somebody who looks like me to get scared and start holding your purse. That's unbiblical. The Bible says to judge righteously, not by appearance. Now, obviously, if somebody's acting sketchy and doing all that, that's a different story. But simply just looking like me does not mean they're going to do any harm to you, because like I said in the beginning, only 0.2 have got arrested for those violent crimes. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. The Bible says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the heart of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So let's start looking at things as God looks at things. Let's judge people based on their morality and not judge them because they look different from you because of how the sun affected their ancestors. It makes no sense. Now, my third point is this utter just hatred, venomous attitude, and the edgelord culture and this like Groiper movement and these other movements today. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, obviously, liberals have messed this word hate up. The Bible, they say that the Bible teaches never to hate. That's not true. But the Bible does teach to not hate unjustifiably, not just hate people for no reason. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. The Bible says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. God doesn't want us to have these characteristics. Turn to Titus chapter 3. I'm going to read for you Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. So God does not want us to just hate people based on nothing. You should be in Titus chapter 3, verse 1. Put them in mind to subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Look at the next verse. But after that, so in the Christian life, you're supposed to have growth. After you were doing all these things, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. So another thing these people will do, turn to Leviticus chapter 19. Another thing these people will do is they'll say, well, I don't hate black people, but then every time they're speaking about them, it's something just demonic, satanic, negative. For example, like people like Nick Fuentes, he'll say, yeah, I love Kanye. I don't hate black people, but I just think most of them should be in prison. I think they're dumb, and I think they're ugly. It's like, clearly, that's hate. Dale Partridge, well, you know, I love black people, but we ought to send them all back to Africa, and we should colonize Africa again. That obviously, that's not love. You know, if that's your version of love, don't hate me. I don't want that type of hate in my life if that's your version of love. Now, another thing that bothers me from this new movement is just hatred towards immigrants. So obviously we shouldn't be hating illegal immigrants anyway, but illegal immigration is wrong because the Bible says in Romans 13 that God has set up an authority. So, you know, we should have some type of law. And I think most people agree to that. We should know who's coming in the country. But these people hate legal immigrants, people who are allowed to be in this country. You should be in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33. And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him unless he's white. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. But the stranger that dwells with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself. So as much as these prideful people love themselves, you need to show that love to the immigrants. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, and meteor, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, and a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. The Bible nowhere teaches to just hate on immigrants. Like, I don't know where this... I've seen a video of this lady saying that even if Jesus Christ came to America, they would ask him for his papers. These people go too far. And the only reason they're doing that is because the Republican Party teaches them to do that. The Bible doesn't teach you to just hate people because, oh, well, he's still in my job. Go get a better job. It's not that hard. Turn to, you should be in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 19, the Bible says, love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, the Bible says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do unto you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Oh, Rashid, you're acting like a liberal. That's what the Bible says. I'm not, like, this is not my belief or my ideology. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men unless they legally immigrated to this country. That's ridiculous. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Let's not start fights with people for no reason. Now, edgelord is internet slang for someone who intentionally makes provocative, offensive, or overly dark statements online to shock others and to appear to be cool and rebellious. Turn to Proverbs chapter 26. So, I don't have a problem with jokes, and I don't have a problem with racial jokes, but what I do have a problem with is if I don't know you and you're coming up to me and saying the most wildest stuff in the world and I've never met you before. Obviously, if you come up to me and you're like, hey, Rashid, wasn't slavery fun? Why would I be okay? Like, first of all, I don't even know you. And the thing about a joke is a joke has to be funny. How far are we going to take this? Are we going to start joking about other death penalty sins like pedophilia, rape? How far do you want to take this? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 4, the Bible says, there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. So, yeah, laughing's okay. Joking with people is okay. But we have to have some type of discernment. Don't come up to me and be like, well, you know, Rashid, my black friend in Kentucky lets me call him the N-word, the J-word, the C-word. So why aren't you okay with that? I'm not your black friend with low self-esteem that just you let him put you through this humiliation ritual. You have to, there has to be some type of connection there. You shouldn't just be doing that to random people. And what I also hate is people that hide behind jokes. They hide their hatred behind jokes. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 18. As a madman who casteth firebrands and arrows and death, so is a man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am I not in sport? The Bible condemns just doing evil, wicked things and then just saying, oh, it's just a prank, bro. These stupid YouTube videos. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3, the Bible says, but fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. The Bible is against just joking about nasty, raunchy things and making these stupid, foolish jokes that aren't even funny because there's no punchline. And one thing I've noticed is a lot of people get really upset about people believing in flat earth. Now, let me say this. I'm against flat earth, and I think it is stupid and retarded, but I've heard some really extreme things like, oh, if you're a flat earther, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I wouldn't even let you drive me in a car. I wouldn't let you mow my lawn. I'll lose all respect for you if you tell me you're a flat earther. But then the same people are like, oh, well, racism is not the biggest sin in the world. It's, you know, so what? So please explain to me how believing that the earth is flat is just a damnable heresy, but you can hang around people who are like legitimately racist. That makes no sense. That's an unjust balance. That's an unjust weight. How many verses are even in the Bible about the earth's size? Two. In Job, it says the earth hangeth upon nothing. And in Isaiah, it says the circle of the earth. You have two verses versus 100 verses I could show you, but one of them is worse than the other. That makes no sense. Where does the Bible does it say that believing in flat earth is a sin? The thought of foolishness is a sin? I can show you plenty of other verses that being a bigot is also wrong. So people have this unjust balance. Point number four, justifying sin. Luke chapter 12, all right, hurry up. Luke chapter 12, verse 1, Jesus says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So in Jesus Christ's ministry, one thing he hated the most was people being hypocrites. And he always called people out for that. James chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. We should not respect persons according to the Bible because God doesn't respect persons. Let me give you some examples. 2020, that was a very crazy, insane year for everybody. So in May, George Floyd got killed, and then BLM started doing a lot of these riots and uprisings in the summer. They call it the Summer of Love. And I heard a lot of people condemn that. They were like, oh, riots are wrong, riots are evil, back the blue, we need to support our police. Cool, awesome, fine. In November, Donald Trump lost to Joe Biden, and then in January, these people just went to the Capitol to try to stop that from happening, and they were hurting police officers, they were doing all this crazy stuff, it cost us all this taxpayer money. You can hear a pin drop. Nobody talked about that. Like, nobody thought that that was wrong. What happened to Back the Blue when they were stepping on police officers' heads? If you were in the Back the Blue crowd in 2020, and then with the Capitol riot, you were radio silent, that makes you a respecter of persons and a hypocrite. Four police officers committed suicide because of how traumatic that experience was at the Capitol. What's my other example? So Israel, we're really excited about Israel, right? They're, you know, genociding people, they're murdering people, they're raping people, doing all this wicked stuff. They're stealing land. Everybody gets so excited about that, love to talk about it. But then when we talk about, like, the European genocide on the Americas, it's crickets. Nobody wants, like, it's just super justification. No, there was nothing wrong with that. We civilized them. If that's the type of civilization that you call it, don't civilize me like that, because I love my life. And look, if you could condemn what Israel is doing, you should also be able to condemn what happened in this country. I don't know why that's so hard. Like Columbus, for example, we praise him. Columbus said, let us in the name of the Holy Trinity go on sending all the slaves that could be sold. How blasphemous is that to name the Holy Trinity in a death penalty sin that you committed? That's super wicked. And people will be like, oh, Rashid, you're railing, you're lying. That didn't happen in America. They just gave it to us. What state are we living in? We are living in Indiana. What does Indiana mean? Indiana. Indian. The state is literally called Land of Indians, and people argue with me like, no, that didn't happen. Then why is it called the Land of Indians? That doesn't make any sense to me. So, whatever. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. So, there's three reasons that I believe that God exists, and I would assume everybody agrees with me. Number one, creation. We can see that the world is created, so that's why there has to be a creator. Number two, the Bible. The Bible is the divine word of God, and we can recognize that. Number three, objective morality. We believe in God because of things that are inherently wrong. So if you think rioting is inherently wrong, you shouldn't be okay with it when one group does it, but when another group does it, it's bad. If genocide is inherently wrong for somebody to do, it shouldn't be okay for one group to do it, but then if the other group does it, you just throw the ringer at them. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Verse 23. Which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked and condemneth the just, even they are both an abomination to the Lord. So justifying wicked actions, no matter who does it, is always wicked, and we should have an objective morality. I'm almost done. Point number five, pride, arrogance, and narcissism. So there's this person named Elijah Schaefer. I don't know if anybody knows him. He has gone through a lot of heat because he committed adultery on his wife, and his wife left him and took the kids, but he lied about it on Twitter and said the FBI kidnapped my entire family. So after we found out that that was a lie, some devil named Bryson Gray, a MAGA rapper, he was calling him out. And Bryson Gray is black, by the way. And Elijah Schaefer said, well, yeah, I cheated on my wife. They left me. My wife and kids left. But at least I'm not black. It, like, could you imagine if your wife and your children leave and you're worried about not being black? How stupid does that sound? I've had very dark times in my life when I was saved. And normally a saved person is thinking, you know what, all this bad stuff happened to me, but at least I'm saved. This joker is worried about not being black, and your wife left you and took the kids. And he's literally worried about not being black. These people, they glorify their whiteness because they have no other accomplishments. Right. Like the king of them, Nick Fuentes, he's probably the greatest white supremacist in the 21st century. He lives in his mother's basement. He's almost a 30-year-old man, and he's been preaching for the last 10 years, white genocide, our birth rates are going down. Why aren't you married? If I was white and I believe that there's a white genocide and the white birth rate is going down, I would get married to a white woman and have a bunch of children. Doesn't that make sense? Right? But the reason why Nick doesn't do that is because he doesn't like women. He doesn't. And people will say I'm railing with that, but Nick has literally said that men are more attractive than women, and then people will say I'm railing for saying that he's, you know, a homo. But whatever. I wanted to read this one quote. From a German dude. He said, the cheapest sort of pride, his name is Arthur Schopenhauer, whatever. The cheapest sort of pride is national pride, for if a man is proud of his own nation, it argues that he has no qualities of his own of which he can be proud. Otherwise, he would not have resource to them, which he shares with so many of his millions of his fellows. Every miserable fool who has nothing at all which he can be proud adopts as a last resource pride in the nation to which he belongs. He is ready and happy to defend all its faults and follies tooth and nail, thus reimbursing himself for his own. So people that glory in this is because they have no other accomplishments, so their only accomplishment is being born. Like, everybody could do that. The other nut, Corey Mahler, I said I was going to get to him. So he's not married, right? But he has literally said that interracial marriage should be a capital crime. If somebody's interracially married, they should be put to death. And then the person he was debating asked him, well, why don't you get married to a white woman? Well, I don't want to get married because people attack me online and they might attack my wife. If you believe your race is dying out, just go do it. Like, look, there's 1.19 billion Europeans in the world right now. If you are really worried about that, there's 600 million white women. If you can't fish in the sea from 600 million white women, your rod is broken, and you need to get another fishing rod if you can't pick up any fish. Yeah. Now, I'm almost done. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to speed read these verses. Paul said, Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might also have confidence in the flesh if any other man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrews of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss. So Paul was part of God's chosen people. And even with all that, even though he was the top of God's chosen people, he counted it all for loss. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord. Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham, his own people. So if God's own people aren't that important to him, that he could just make a rock into a human, then we should not be glorifying the flesh. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, the Bible says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. This white supremacist movement, this whole, oh, if all white people leave America, the world's going to stop spinning and the sky is going to fall, the rapture is going to happen if they all leave. This is super puffed up, lofty, and prideful, and no Christian should ever act like this. It's pretty much like white Zionism, like we're God's chosen people, and everybody else is goyim, everybody else is animals. And in Matthew 23:12, basically it's saying if you're humble, God's going to exalt you and bring you up here, but if you're this just super prideful, arrogant, narcissist jerk, God's going to throw you down and step on you. I'm trying to help these people. I don't want them to be stepped on. So that's why I'm preaching this. They also have this, it should be in Luke 18, verse 11. They have this attitude that they're just better than everybody. Luke 18, verse 11, the Bible says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. So we shouldn't be just glorifying in our flesh and doing any of that. We should esteem others better than ourselves, the Bible says. And in Luke, when it says Jesus Christ comes back, it says men's hearts is going to fail. I think that's going to happen because the white supremacists, whatever, for whatever reason, they think Jesus Christ is white with blue hair and blonde eyes. They might have a heart attack finding out that he's a brown Middle Easterner. And you can't get around that because it wouldn't make any sense for him to be white because he didn't live in Europe. Last point, regardless of everything I just said, point number six, we should, even though we shouldn't, you know, have these extreme ideas, we should love ourselves. And, you know, love whatever culture you're in. Don't wish you were something else. Matthew 22, verse 39, the Bible says, the second is like unto them, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Bible teaches us to love ourselves. Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So, yeah, we should love what God made us to be. If you're a white person, you're putting Botox in your lips to make them big, that's wicked. If you are a black person like Sammy Sosa and you bleach your entire skin to be lighter, that's wicked because that's not the way that God intended to make you. Romans chapter 9, verse 20, the Bible says, nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? We shouldn't be complaining to God for what he made us. Whatever God made us, that was his purpose to make us. Turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 7. Almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. I believe this teaches that culture is not inherently bad. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I may gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So Paul was basically saying when you're, you know, trying to get another culture saved, it's okay to dabble in that culture unless it crosses a sinful boundary. So for example, some people have this idea that like once you become saved, you have to just dump your entire culture. For example, like Native Americans, if they have long hair, they have to cut their long hair off because that's a sin according to the Bible. But if they have some tradition where they're doing backflips, the Bible doesn't say that's wrong to do a backflip or to do dance. The Bible actually says that we can dance. You know, David danced before the Lord. Amen. Irish people. If an Irish person wants to wear a kilt, that's sinful. He should stop doing that because that's a skirt. That's an abomination for a man to wear a skirt. It's an abomination for a woman to wear pants. No exceptions. But if an Irish person wants to dress up like a leprechaun, Where does the Bible say you can't do that? Nowhere. Lastly, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And this is really important. We're still going to look the way we are when we go to heaven. It's not this Peter Ruckman doctrine. Everybody's going to be Jesus Christ, look like him. All the women are going to turn into men. They're 30 years old. That's super weird. The Bible says, Revelation 7, verse 9. And mind you, John is looking at this. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So we're still going to look the same. So look, if you're an Asian person and you have tight eyes, praise the Lord. Amen. That's not going to change once you go to heaven. If you're black and you're as black as the sky, amen. Praise the Lord. If you're white and you're as white as this paper, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. So lastly, I'll close with this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Close with this. Pretty much, white supremacy is an issue, but the bigger issue is mixing it in to Christianity. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion have light with darkness, and what concord have Christ with Belial, or what part have he that believeth with an infidel? So we should not mix Christianity, pure, precious, the truth, you know, justice, all these great things with evil things, like the Groiper movement, like the Confederacy, like neo-Nazis, like Patriot Front, like the KKK. We shouldn't have the KKK as a screensaver for our phone. I would think I would never have to say that, but apparently I do. So, yeah, I'm running out of time. So, pretty much, I've been going soul winning. I'm almost done. I've been going soul winning since 2023 in March, so I'm about to come up on my fourth year of soul winning. And every time I run into a black individual, a lot of things they say is, well, I don't believe in the Bible because the Bible teaches slavery, like how it happened in America. Christians believe in slavery. Christianity teaches slavery. And I'll say, no, the Bible condemns it. It's a death penalty sin. But what I believe is, by the time I'm Brother Matt's age, I'll be having to say, well, you know, the mainstream Christians say that. Most of them do that, but the Bible teaches this. And God forbid I would ever do this. And people would be like, no, that's ridiculous. People are never going to believe anything like that. Well, what about people like Doug Wilson, people like Joshua Hames, Joel Webbin, Matt Walsh, that have said things like slavery was a blessing? That's super, like, take slavery out and put another death penalty sin, like rape is a blessing. Murder is a blessing. That stuff is super wicked. So let's not be, you know, fundamental and conservative back to like the 1700s. Let's be fundamental and conservative back to the 1400s BC, like the book of Leviticus and the book of Deuteronomy and things like that. And I'll close with this. I've said that like five times, but I'm not the only one complaining about this, because I know somebody will twist this like, oh, you're a victim and you're just complaining, shut up, and blah, 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 blah. I've seen white folks online saying exactly what I'm saying. There's this history YouTuber named Vlogging Through History, and he has his history channel. He's a traditional conservative. You know, he has Christian core values, whatever. But he's like, hey, what I'm seeing is going a little too far to the right. Like Matt Walsh, if Matt Walsh is right here, I want to be that far away from him, because, you know, the Bible doesn't teach to be wicked like Matt Walsh and defend stuff like Emmett Till. Once you're defending Emmett Till, I don't even want to be in the same room with you, because that's just super wicked and evil. So let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I lost my voice. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, please thank you for the sermon, Lord. Thank you for the preaching of your word. Please just help us to be Bible-minded and not to justify wicked acts, Lord. And please just have this stupid white supremacist doctrine to fall on the sword of the Word of God. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
All right. If the black people are superior in hot climate and white people are superior in colder climate, then I guess I'm the best of the both worlds, right? So thank you. Thank you. Anyway, let's close the service with Psalm 176, Jesus Loves the Little Children. We will sing it twice, Psalm 176. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. One more time. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Amen. Brother Wade, could you close the service with a word of prayer? Amen. You are dismissed.